Help us to hear what the Spirit would say to the church. We ask that your Holy Spirit would superintend this time, Lord, and that our hearts and minds would be focused on you. We give you all praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you can take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. Familiar psalm, probably the most familiar psalm. A psalm that's been shared by millions during difficult times, during times when family members are nearing eternity and the word goes forth and comforts them. But this psalm is much more than that, because you see, David, as he penned this psalm, did so as a person who was alive and well, whether it was as a youngster there in his father's fields or later on as the king of Israel. He wanted us to know the importance of having a relationship with our shepherd. And so today, that's what we want to talk about just a little bit. This psalm flowed from the heart of a king who had the heart of a shepherd. Because you see, David was raised as a shepherd in his father's fields as the youngest of the family. And it was a humble beginning. But it was there that God taught him about the importance of shepherding the sheep faithfully. And then he installed him as the shepherd of Israel, if you will, the king of Israel who would guide and direct his people. This psalm is really the middle psalm of a trilogy, Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24. Psalm 22 deals with the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. Be looking at that on Wednesday evening. This psalm is the psalm of the great shepherd who cares for his sheep. And Psalm 24 is the psalm of the chief shepherd who will come again and bring a reward for his people. So powerful, powerful truths. In verse 1 of this psalm, we read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The possession of the shepherd. The sheep are the possession of the shepherd. David knew that very well, that he was the sheep of the shepherd. And for us, we need to realize that personal connection. He's very personal to us. He is my shepherd, David would say. It's not just a shepherd or the shepherd. He's my shepherd. As we look at that and we go through the scriptures and we look at the names of God, they tell us a story. Today, we had a song that we sang about the great I am. And then we had bearing witness to the reality of the power of this one that we call the I am. Jehovah, the I am. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. David's young life bore witness to God's provision and deliverance for David, and it carries us into that place of understanding that not only did he deliver David time and time again, but he is in the process of delivering you, of delivering me in our lives. Things sometimes that we don't even see, other things that are more apparent. That's the true deliverance ministry, is that God delivers us so faithfully. He takes care of us, and I'm so thankful for that. But he says there, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, the I am who is our provider. Our provider. You remember the story perhaps of Abraham and Isaac, where the Lord came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to take him to Mount Moriah, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. That must have been stunningly shocking to Abraham. And yet, by faith, he took his son, he gathered up all that he needed, he took his servants with him, and they made the journey there to the mountain. And that as they went up onto the mountain, Isaac would ask his dad, Dad, we have the fire, we have the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And you know, many of you, Abraham's response was, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And that's exactly what he did. As Abraham prepared to sacrifice Isaac, there was a voice from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, stop. And then there was a ram in the caught in the thicket that they brought and they gave as a sacrifice. And that place became known as the place of Jehovah Jireh, provider. We can bear witness in our own personal lives of God's provision in our lives. He watches over us. He takes care of us. He provides so well for us. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord, my peace. I don't know today what's going on in your life, but I know that in my life, there are times that I need peace. I need to hear the voice of God, if you will, that sweet fellowship with him and his word by his spirit. The Lord brings peace. Gideon was one who experienced that. Gideon, the one who was hiding in the wine press, threshing grain, hiding from the Midianites. And God shows up and he calls him a mighty man of valor as he hides there. But as God calmed Gideon's spirit, he built an altar and he called it Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace. You and I, we can know that peace, a peace that passes understanding. And that's why it's so important for us to trust in the Lord, to pray about everything. And as we pray, God brings to us that peace. That's why we spend time in the sanctuary in prayer. Because together, corporately, that's a powerful tool. But it should never be restricted to the congregation, to the sanctuary. We should be praying continually, as Thessalonians tells us, pray without ceasing. That attitude of prayer. How many times have you set up an arrow prayer? Help, Lord. God loves that when we do that. So we see Jehovah Rohi. We see Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom. I like this one particularly, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. And as we think about God's healing ministry, it isn't just physical healing. Of course, we know that. He is our healer, spiritually speaking. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus, then you know that healing that took place in your life when you invited Jesus into your heart. We were set free from our past. Our sins were forgiven. We were cleansed. We were white as snow. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But there's so much more in that, Jehovah Rapha. He heals us not only physically, but he will heal us mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And we need to embrace all of those things. We should never limit God. We've seen God deliver people from the damage that was done in their lives, from drugs and alcohol, just restoring their cognitive abilities, the things that were going on in their mind when they first came. And as they began to walk with Jesus and they began to read his word and they began to be in fellowship, we began to see a change, a transformation, literally. And that is so powerful to see people come and ask for prayer for healing physically. And God has answered those prayers. There are witnesses to that here in this place and beyond. God gives us a ministry of healing through Jehovah Rapha. You see, our God is a big God. And we need to begin to explore his bigness, if you will. Is there a word? Is that a word? Bigness? But today it's a word. He wants us to explore his bigness, his marvelous character and all of those things. Moses understood that healing process. When Moses took the people of Israel out of Egypt, they were in the wilderness wandering. They'd been going for 3 days. They were without water. They found a pool of water. They went to drink of it, and it was polluted. It was bitter. And the people cried out, and it says God showed him a tree, interestingly, to bring healing to the waters. He puts the tree into the waters, makes the waters whole, and he called that ministry Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. And he told the Israeli people, I will not put those diseases upon you that were upon the Egyptians, because I have healed you. Simply walk with me faithfully. And that's what the Lord wants for you and for me today. He wants us to walk faithfully with him. He wants us to be undiluted, if you will. He wants us to be single-minded. I was thinking about that in my own life this week, and how easy it is to become double-minded. To begin taking in some things of the world that maybe aren't quite profitable, that would distract and keep me from being what he wants me to be. And I suspect that we all have those things in our lives that we can think about, talk about, focus upon, realizing that the Lord would say to us, you don't need that. I have something better. Get rid of that, and we'll talk. Finally, we see Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord my righteousness. The Lord my righteousness. Jeremiah was a powerful prophet. He had a powerful ministry to the Jewish people, and yet it was a difficult ministry. It was a lonely ministry. It was a ministry where he received much abuse and persecution. And by the way, over all of those decades of ministry, he did not see one convert. And when he got to that place of super discouragement, God shows up and he says, I want you to know that I am sending Messiah. And he's going to come, and his name is going to be Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord my righteousness. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus today, if I have that personal relationship with him, then we are declared righteous. Not our own righteousness, those are filthy rags, but his righteousness imputed to us through Jesus. We don't have to walk in guilt anymore. We don't have to remember the old days. You see, David knew God's provision in his life, as did all of these others that I've just mentioned. We can know that same relationship. We can have and be partakers of that same blessing. But we have to choose, as Joshua would say, this day who we will serve. We want God's blessing, but sometimes we want to dabble in the world a little bit too. And we need not do that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There is a need for dependence on God. He is my shepherd. It's a very personal relationship. But he is also my keeper. He is my shepherd, but I am his sheep. I'm no longer my own. If you've called the name of Jesus, you're no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. And God wants all of you. He wants you to serve him. I have to turn to God to receive from him. We call it repentance. And so often we think of it in terms of sin, but I would suggest to you, it's not just relative to sin. It's relative to direction, where I simply say, Lord, I repent of the direction I'm going. It may not be in sin, but it's not your best for me. So I change course. I turn back to you, Lord. And then the Lord begins to pour out those benefits, if you will, those blessings into our lives that we were looking for all along. And so we turn to him because he is all that I want. I shall not want, but he's also all that we need. I shall not want. That's an interesting statement. I've always thought about it in terms of always having the blessing of plenty. But it's also, there's a component of it that directs us in the sense that I'm not going to want those things that are not pleasing to him. I shall not want. As I realize that God is my shepherd, Jehovah Rohi is my shepherd, I am going to want and desire those things that are pleasing to him. Matter of fact, the scripture says that, right? If we delight in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. How many times has God changed your mind, your heart in something as you were pursuing him, as you were talking to him, you had a direction and a commitment to do something, and all of a sudden God flips a switch, if you will, and you know that that's not what you should be doing or that place where you should be going. God has a different plan. I can't tell you the number of people that I know and have a relationship with who are going one direction professionally. God intervenes and says, no, you're not going to be that lawyer, or you're not going to be that. You're going to be a shepherd of the sheep. Whoa. Major change in direction. But are we willing? Are we willing to receive that? To say, Lord, I know that you are all that I need, but Lord, help me to only want those things which are pleasing to you. I like what Charles Spurgeon declared. He said, the sweetest word of this psalm, the whole, is that word, my. He, God, does not say the Lord is the shepherd of the world at large and leads forth the multitude as his flock, but the Lord is my shepherd. If he be a shepherd to no one else, he is a shepherd to me. He cares for me, watches over me, and preserves me. Praise the Lord. That's true. It's true of you. It's true of me. The Lord is watching over us. He goes on there in verse 2. He says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. We see here the preservation of the shepherd. The preservation of the shepherd. Because you see, the shepherd knows the needs of his sheep. And I like the word that David uses. He makes me lie down. In other words, there's sometimes that the Lord says, stop. And he puts his hand on your back and he makes you stop. It could be a various numbers of things. Sometimes God has to knock us down to get our attention. He puts us in a sick bed or whatever it happens to be, so that we're there, stopped long enough that we can hear his heart, that we can sense his presence, that we can hear his voice. He makes me lie down. And as we do that, as we find ourselves in that place, we experience freedom. You know, sheep need a number of things to be able to be healthy and to be able to take in sustenance and so forth. One of them is a secure environment. They need to be in a place where they're not fearful. If they're fearful, they won't eat. That's what the Lord would say to us as well. You need not fear. 2 Timothy in chapter 1, verse 7, Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, for God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. How many of us today experience fear on a regular basis? For various reasons. It can be situations and circumstances. I just recently interacted with an individual where it was drug-induced, prescribed drugs. So many times the things that are prescribed by our doctors bring us into this place of fear. The side effects are humongous, and we need to know and understand that. We need to keep our focus upon him, because God has not given us that spirit of fear. If I begin to experience fear, unfounded fear, irrational fear, then I need to evaluate where I am, what I'm doing. Lord, reveal to me your heart in this, because I don't want to have that spirit of fear, Lord. I want to be free in you. And I want to be able to speak with confidence. The other thing that we experience is freedom from friction with other sheep. The strife from other sheep can cause a problem with eating and so forth. The shepherd is in the process of dealing with that friction with other sheep. And because of who we are and the personalities we have, there from time to time are going to be frictions, right? There's a reason that Peter calls us living stones, because we rub each other kind of raw sometimes. But God's bigger than that. He can give us freedom from that. We can rise above it. Listen, we're family. As a fellowship, we're family. And we're family with the others outside of the walls of this church, but let's just keep it here. There are going to be times, listen, there are going to be times when we rub each other raw, sometimes on purpose because we're ornery, sometimes because we're not paying attention. But listen, the important thing is we remember that we are family, and what does family do when there's a problem? Go different directions and never meet again. That's what people do so often. But that's not what God would have us do. We need to work through those differences. We need to experience forgiveness. We need to experience reconciliation. We need to be brought back together, and we will be the stronger for it because he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. But listen, if I can't be reconciled to my brothers and sisters, how can I talk to others about reconciliation, whether it's marriage or family or in the workplace or whatever? I need to be willing to humble myself and use the W word. I was wrong. That word comes hard sometimes, but it's important. We need to be able to do that. Freedom from friction, freedom from pests. We need freedom from pests. Our battle, guys, is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. There's one major pest in our life, and we need to know that he is roaming about, seeing whom he may devour, and we need to realize that our shepherd will give us freedom from him, but we need to keep our shepherd between us and him. We need to speak in the name of Jesus. If we're going to speak at all to the spiritual realm, it has to be in Jesus' name. When Michael was disputing about the body of Moses, he didn't do it directly. He did it through Jesus. And there's a reason for that. Satan is powerful, and we have no business taking him on directly. But we will experience that freedom if we will keep our armor in place, Ephesians 6, trust in the power of God, and seek prayer. That's the other thing. God has given us an amazing resource in the body of Christ where we can gather with a group of people and we can call them together to pray. We have a prayer chain. The prayer chain members, many of them don't even know who the other members are, but we'll get a call. We'll put the prayer request out to the prayer chain, and it's always very private, but it's powerful. We've seen God do such amazing things through that prayer chain. And there are many other prayer chains as well. So thankful for that. Take advantage of that. Take advantage of your brothers and sisters when you have a need. Years ago, before we ever came down here, so that tells you we've been here, 26 years, our family hit a major road bump. I'll just say a road bump. It was much bigger than that. And we thought we could deal with it ourselves. And we tried, but it did not go well. And there was major emotional turmoil going on. And finally, we got wise enough to reach out, to call the elders of the church, to call those that we knew and loved and knew that they loved us. And we asked them to come, and we gathered together and we began to pray. But we waited a long time. It took months to get through that journey, and it was painful. But we learned a valuable lesson, and that is move quickly. When you realize a spiritual attack is happening, don't think you can handle it on your own. God didn't create you. He didn't create me to be an island. It's hard. It's hard to let people know when you have needs. It's hard to let people know when you're struggling, but it's important. It's important. He also gives us freedom from hunger, that abundant food. He makes me lie down in green pastures, those plus green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. Freedom from uncertainty. The shepherd always guides the flock to the watering place, and he will take them to a place that's free from pollution. That's why we always go to the water of the word, because we know that this book is inspired by God. It doesn't just contain truth. It is truth. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God breathed. And so we hold this book knowing that it's going to protect us. In Jeremiah, God declared, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. We've taken our time at drinking at the well of the world, and it doesn't end well. It's polluting in our lives. God has redeemed us. He's called us out of that, and he's taken us to the fountain of living waters, and he says, drink deeply. It will never run dry. It will never be polluted. It will always be there for you. It will minister to your need, and it will carry you through. And we need to embrace that. Verse 3, it says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In that verse, we see the provision of the shepherd. The provision of the shepherd. Because you see, the shepherd works to restore the soul. He restores my soul. When we talk about the soul, what is that? It's the mind, the will, and the emotions. The mind, the will, and the emotions. What makes us us, really? And it says that the shepherd will restore our mind, our will, and our emotions. There's an interesting book, if you ever want to read a commentary, if you will, kind of on Psalm 23. It's titled A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Philip Keller. Excellent book. This guy has amazing insights into Psalm 23 as a shepherd. And it was really refreshing to read that and to see the things that God gave him. But we see this term cast sheep. Cast sheep. It's a sheep that basically falls over. You've seen the cartoons. They just kind of fall over. And they get on their back. And then when they get on their back, they panic. And they are vulnerable. They can't get back up. And death is soon to follow. But the shepherd goes out to restore the cast sheep. He restores my soul. Jesus said this, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than the 99 just persons which need no repentance. Every time that you share Jesus with somebody and they come to a relationship with him, you set off a party. In heaven. That's pretty awesome to think about. Let's keep them partying down, right? That's what we want to do. That's what we want to do. We want to rejoice. It should warm our hearts when we hear about the salvation of others. I was reading this last week. Maybe you saw the article. The Feast of Pentecost was just over here just about 2 weeks ago. And on that Sunday or on that weekend, they had a baptism down at Pirates Cove in Southern Cal. It was the place where the Jesus movement took place. They baptized 4,600 and I don't know, some odd people on that week in that weekend. I mean, God was just doing a powerful work, and he is doing a powerful work. We just don't hear about it because it's not news to the media. But listen. That should warm our hearts. That should excite us. That should cause us to rejoice, just like Jesus is talking about here. But it doesn't have to be way out there. It can be right here. In our community, in our county, in our state. I mean, our state is challenged for sure. We need to be impacting our state for Jesus. We need to be sharing. And it happens one person at a time. That's what's going to make the difference. The political pendulum swings back and forth. But the only true lasting change will come through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the main thing. And guys, we need to keep the main thing the main thing. Be sharing Jesus. Because you see here in this verse, it tells us that the shepherd leads the sheep in the way of righteousness or the right way. One thing about sheep, and you know, as we talk about sheep, we're really talking about ourselves. One thing about sheep is once they get on a path, they don't like to change paths. They want to stay on the same path. But the Lord has a way of redirecting, of taking us to different paths. And he will always take us to that place of safety and feeding and growth. That's his design for you and for me. From the day you received Jesus Christ, if you've received Jesus Christ, you have been on a path with the shepherd where he is building into you those things which you need to carry out the work of ministry that he's given you, where he can minister to your soul, where he can refresh you and encourage you. And that is all enabled by, if you will, the great guide. We call him the Holy Spirit. So important, the Holy Spirit and his ministry in our lives and through our lives. You know, as you look in the New Testament ministry of the Holy Spirit, there are really three parts to his ministry. There is the exterior part, the one who will come alongside and convict people of their need for Jesus. But there's also that interior ministry for that one who's been born again. It says that the Holy Spirit has been placed within us. 1 Corinthians 12 says that we are baptized into the body of Christ and the Holy Spirit indwells us. But in Acts, we see a third dynamic of the Holy Spirit. Not only will he be with you and in you, he wants to come upon you. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said what? You will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. So all three of those ministries are active in our lives at some point in time. That interior ministry never goes away because we've been sealed into the body of Christ. We will carry him into eternity. Praise God for that, because I need him. I need his guidance and direction and input, if you will, correction. But there's also that part of the ministry upon where we are looking to be servants of the Most High God. We need to experience that coming upon relationship of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, when he was getting ready to go into public ministry, remember he went to John the Baptist and he said, I need you to baptize me. And John kind of argued with him a little bit, but he ended up baptizing him. When Jesus came up out of the water, what happened? The Holy Spirit, it says, came down as a dove and landed upon him. And it was from there then that he went out into the wilderness to be tempted and then to continue on in his public ministry. There is a relationship that we need to have with the Holy Spirit in that area. We need to ask him to not only fill us afresh with himself, but to come upon us, empowering us, as we read in the book of Acts. Our God is the same God today as he was then. He hasn't changed. He'll never change. He's immutable. He's unchangeable. And that's great. That's a great confidence to us. So be praying, not only for the fresh filling of God's Spirit, but Lord, I want to experience the fullness of your power upon me. So important for that to occur in our lives. Because as we do that, what will happen? It says, he restores my soul and leads me in the paths of righteousness. What? For his name's sake. Everything that happens in your life and mine is for his glory. He works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He uses those things. All things that are unfolding in our lives are for our good and for his glory. He'll use them. How is he going to use them? I don't know. I'm not God. But his word says that he's going to use them. And we need to trust him in that. Let's choose to get to know our great shepherd, the one who cares for the sheep. He'll carry you through. He'll care for you. He will minister to you, not just for ministry's sake to you, but so that then you can go out and minister to others and share the reality that Jesus saves to the uttermost. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful to you, Lord, for this day. It is a gift from your hands. I thank you, Lord, for drawing us together in this place, Lord, and for allowing us not only to worship together, to fellowship together, to pray together, Lord, but to learn together. And we are all learning. You speak to each of our hearts so faithfully, Lord, and I thank you for that. I pray, Father, that you would continue, Lord, to do your work in us, personally and corporately, Lord. Might we indeed cry out to you as our great shepherd, Father, not only for the filling of your Spirit, Lord, but for the empowering of your Spirit, that coming upon relationship, Father. We want to be fruitful tools in your hands, Lord, and so we offer ourselves to you to do as you will. We join with Isaiah in simply saying, here I am, send me. Father, I thank you for each one here. I pray for each heart. Lord, I pray for those who find themselves in that place where they need, Lord, to draw closer to you. For one reason or another, have drifted away. Lord, thank you that you're drawing them. May you draw them to the foot of the cross. For anyone, Lord, that's here that doesn't know you personally, I pray, Father, that they would cry out to you in Jesus' name, Lord, by faith, and invite you to forgive them of their sin, that Jesus might come into their life, Lord, that they might be born again. We rejoice to know that we are one day closer to heaven. But Lord, in these days, help us to run the race well. Help us to occupy until you come, Lord. Might much fruit be born by your people around the world. It's exciting to see, Lord, the work you're doing. I pray the Lord would give you new eyes today, that he would help you to see the depth of relationship with your shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. Might he encourage your heart? Might he draw you close? And I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.